unofficial movies of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. My name is Justin.
I'm Andy.
And if you love comics, if you love movies, or even if you just love
defunding the police,
then this show is for you. Welcome back, everyone.
Here we are.
We've got a very special episode lined up today with a very special guest. We have Sierra Berry on today. Hey, Sierra.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
another day in quarantine paradise, if I do say so myself.
That's right.
It truly is. What a paradise.
What a paradise.
Fit with smelly socks and my PJs into the two nights in a row.
Oh, I've been going on 3 days with, I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
Two nights. You're
same
new to this, aren't you?
Oh, boy. Sierra and I actually went to high school together for a bit, but I'm happy to have you on the show. You've actually been on my like, I should ask this person list for like a year, like pretty much since we started, because I know you're a huge fan of Marvel and comic books in general. But tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you up to?
Oh, gosh. Well, what am I up to right now? So I guess right now, to try to keep myself sane, I've been watching TV shows and trying to stay up to date in the general communities, trying to figure out which of my stands are actually out here supporting what's going on, which ones I have to just throw in the trash, and you know, just keeping track. It's like every morning I wake up and I just take my seats at the Enterprise chair and I'm like, damage report. So that's dang. Pretty much what I've been up to. Right now I'm watching Hollywood, and it's a really good show so far. And my biggest issue, well, it's two of them actually, because I'm also a huge gamer. But you know, it takes place in the peak of Hollywood, 1940s,
right.
Like right after the war, and I can only think two things. One, all the music is a bop, especially since I've played Bioshock and Fallout, and literally that like all
yeah.
of those songs are in there. And I just keep thinking about a like alternate universe where it's like S.H.I.E.L.D. is like this main place where all this stuff is happening, and like Bucky and Steve. And I'm not nerd. Like all that stuff.
That's so good. Have you started the do you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at all?
So I am behind.
Okay,
I'm
okay.
Very behind on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And by that, I mean I just started watching it, is what that
sure.
is.
Well, that's good. That's okay. That's, I mean, better late than never. But without spoiling anything for you, this final season, I think you'll enjoy it.
I heard it, like, has picked up, because I tried to watch it originally, and I just wasn't feeling it. And
yeah.
But now apparently everybody's freaking out, and I'm like, oh, well, something's gone down since the last time I saw it then. So.
Yeah, it starts off as almost like a crime drama procedural.
Yeah.
With just like, you know.
Extremely episodic. Resets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then in the later seasons, you get these whole story arcs with like twists and complications, and yeah, it gets a lot better.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Sierra, have you read a comic book?
Sierra has read a comic book beyond popular belief. And don't get me started on a rant, but I do have to at least tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, not only do I read them whenever I have the chance, but I would say I'm fairly involved with the comic community. I volunteer at our local Planet Comic Con and do a bunch of stuff like that. And I think a lot of this also comes from the gaming aspect as well, but the community has such this gatekeeping attitude. And again, I won't go into it too far, but high key, one of my favorite stories about being a woman who reads comic books was one day I was at a comic book store And shout out to Elite because I love them. They've really treated me with respect.
Yep.
And a lot of the women that go there with respect. And I say this because I've been to other stores where I've literally been in the midst of paying somebody money and then getting gatekeeped. It's kind of ridiculous. But there was one day I was at Elite and I was looking, I don't even remember what I was looking for. That could have been my Misty Knight phase. I can't remember. But I was minding my own business and there's this little small girl with some guy friends and they were looking at comics and I guess one of them was trying to hit on her and he asked her what comic book like superhero she liked and she's thinking that she's gonna have a conversation and she's excited and she's like, oh yeah, I really like Iron Man and blah blah blah, and this guy's like, oh, you like Iron Man? That's so mainstream. I like Batman. And I like literally fell out of my bubble and literally came to this baby's aid and was like, you do realize that Batman is the white bread of mainstream, right? You cannot just say that, right? And this girl like clung to me like glue because I was like, you're not going to say some stupid ass shit right next to me, right in front of my salad. It's like, are you serious? You did not just, that did not just come out of your mouth. It's like, at least with Iron Man, a lot of people did not, especially in our age group, did not really get to know him until the movies came out.
Right.
That like put his popularity through the stratosphere when that happened. So at least there is some sort of reason for why this girl was looking at Iron Man. But everybody knows who Batman is.
Right. That's, like, there's so much cringiness in that story. And then it ends with just this guy being an idiot. And I love it.
Like, classic. Just mwah. But yes, I do read comics. I was actually at the comic book store like maybe a couple weeks ago after I got my hair done. Because it was like right next door. And I was like, yes. And I learned, I'm mad I didn't know about this, but apparently I saw one of, oh, I still have the picture of it. But there is a new series. I don't even know how new it is, but Strike Force, that's what it is. I was looking at it, and it has Blade and Bucky. And I was like, wait, when did, how do y'all even know each other?
Right.
So I need to pick that up and I need to find out whether or not they canceled my girl Riri's new series because of Corona. So
right.
I heard a lot of series were either getting straight up canceled or delayed. And I was like, oh God, no, please. Because the way that the last series left off, I was big mad. So...
So,
really hoping to get canceled.
In that vein, I know you love Ironheart, Riri Williams. Would you say she's your favorite, or would you say who's your favorite Marvel character, Sierra?
I'm gonna make you pick. You are telegraphing. So I had to put it in categories because that's not fair.
I'm the same way.
I love, as far as when it comes to my female MCU Marvel character, it is Riri. Kind of a tie between her and Misty Knight though, because Misty Knight is such a badass. And she was like one of the only good things about the Luke Cage series, I think.
Yeah.
But obviously, I say this is obviously because they can see me and everyone listening cannot see, but my whole room literally has like a bunch of Captain America / Chris Evans stuff around my walls, and they can literally see, let me think, there's Riri right there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, if you see that one in the corner, yeah, there's quite a few of those things, so.
Yeah, it makes me question, like, what constitutes as decoration, and when does it transition to shrine?
I keep the shrine hidden away.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No,
you met Chris Evans, right?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. That one, I was like, I don't know if you can see it. There's the picture.
Yeah.
right up there.
Top right there, Andy. Yeah. In the frame.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a big sweetheart. He's a big old sweetie pie.
That's great. Cool.
He's very cool. But no, I am definitely a big Cat fan. I have a tattoo, actually. I don't know. I know I posted at one point. I have a tattoo on my bad leg. And it has a flower that I chose. It has both shields. It has his classic shield and the Wakandan shield, because those claw shields were dope. And it has the "I can do this all day" written on the side of it. I really like Captain America, and I think that may have also went in with America Chavez, because I also cosplayed her like years ago, and it just kind of became this big thing. But yeah,
I love it. We actually just did America Chavez in an episode.
Oh, nice.
Miss America. Yeah. Okay, so let's jump into this. And actually, I think the talk about Captain America actually is a great transition here. So for everyone listening, you all know that typically we roll a die and we randomly are given a character from the list. And then we go and we research, and none of us know beforehand what we're going to do. Now, this is the first episode that we're not going to do that. I deliberately picked a character that we are going to discuss today, and you've already seen the title of this episode, so you know that it's Rage. Rage is a Marvel character from, let me pull up my list here. Let's see. First appearance, The Avengers, number 326, back in 1990. He has been surprisingly in like a ton of Marvel comics for being a street level hero. Kind of like that, you know, street level being like Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, one of those kind of type heroes. So before I jump into like the character's backstory and all of that jazz, I just want to talk about real quick why I picked Rage for this episode. And the truth of the matter is, I've actually had Rage on the waiting list for the list of 20 names that we pull from each week. And I kept wanting to put him in, and then I would think to myself, ooh, okay, if we're going to do this character justice, I don't know that I want to do it without a Black person present. In order to tell this story, we need to tell it with the right people present, and Andy and I just aren't necessarily the right people in that situation. Now, we've done this before with other characters, and we've kind of just done it because we wanted those stories to get out there. But with Rage, there's a specific storyline that I think of when I think of Rage, and that storyline in itself is just so much more very delicate, I'll say. Something that needs to be said, something that needs to get out there, but something that also needs the right voices telling it. So we'll talk more about that, what that storyline is, and I shared it with these guys. But yeah, that's how I landed on Rage, and I'm happy that we're finally doing this. I fell in love with this character back when I first read the comic that I'm talking about, which was Captain America, Sam Wilson. This is the 2015 run of the character after Sam Wilson, Falcon, was given the title of Captain America by Steve Rogers himself, kind of handed down the shield and whatnot, and he becomes Captain America. And in this this run written by Nick Spencer, I highly, highly, highly recommend that if you have access, go out and read it. It is fantastic. And then you come back and listen to this episode, because we're going to spoil it a bunch for you here. but go read it, because guys, it's some of the best writing that I've seen from like a Marvel title. And here it is, basically. Captain America, Sam Wilson. He becomes Captain America, and half of the country hates that. Half of the country starts using the hashtag not my captain, using this is, remember, this is back in 2015, so this is right at the end of Obama's presidential run, essentially second term, and Sam Wilson basically is having to deal with representing a country that is shattered just because he is the symbol of peace in this country. And he starts having to deal with the fact that, you know, does Captain America answer to the law, or does he answer to the American people? And that's something that Steve Rogers hasn't really had to do too much with in the past. We see it a little bit in the Civil War storyline and whatnot, but for the most part, Steve Rogers was backed by everyone, or if he wasn't, it wasn't talked about. Because again, you have, you know, as great as Marvel is at progressing, there's still mostly white men writing these comics. And so you don't consider what it means when the entire Avengers team is all white. And so you don't really think about those things. But, you know, this comic really takes a hard look at what that is and what's what it means to be a black Captain America. So we'll start the discussion there, but I should go ahead and mention how Rage fits into all this. Rage is actually just a supporting character in this comic. He's not the protagonist. Of course, Sam Wilson's the protagonist in this storyline, but the storyline is so important to me. I think it's very real, and it kind of reflects a lot of what's happening right now with the Black Lives Matter movement and with defunding the police and with all of the stuff that's happening right now in our world. To try and keep this short, too late, sorry. Sam Wilson finds kind of ends up going against a group called the AmeriCops. That's one word, AmeriCops. And it's a private policing force that are pretty much funded by this, like, they're called Kane Industries. And they start to basically take policing to a very forceful way and completely racial profiling and just basically answering to nobody. And so Rage, being a street level hero, kind of like a hometown hero in that way, he starts to defend his people, basically. He starts to defend his neighborhood. He starts to step up and say, hey, this isn't right. There's even protests that happen and all kinds of stuff like that. And Sam Wilson's kind of caught in the middle of it. Does he help these, you know, protesters who are, you know, technically, I guess, breaking the law by some bullshit laws? Or does he, you know, basically sell out and do what he thinks Captain America would do? And so he's kind of defining his own, what it means to be Captain America. Okay, I've talked too long. Somebody else talk now. Let's get this ball rolling.
Sorry, it's not so funny. Justin, because I don't think that was mentioned at all, I am the black person that was brought on.
Yes, apologize. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I mean, yes, I'm looking at you. Obviously, our audience is not. Yes. Sierra, how do you identify?
I am blackity black, and I'm black, y'all. That's what it's
called. So good, I love it.
You have to check that box on the census. That's great. Yes, yeah.
Exactly. So when I was approached, I actually did not know about Rage. And so obviously, to try to be a good guest, I did a little bit of research, not too much, just because, especially when it comes to how the MCU will do things, if they like a character and they want to put them in something, they're going to subvert expectations one way or another to make it new. So I didn't deep dive, so I'm not an expert yet. But just this is going to be a character dive though, just based on, it's really I'm really impressed that his creator and the team thus far that I've seen have all been, like you mentioned, white men, white artists that are doing these storylines, because there's a lot there with just from his name, Rage and Down, I think really, what's the word I want? Really just brings out the character that he is, the person that he is. So Rage, first of all, obviously, I think it really encapsulates his feelings towards what's going on, especially in this specific issue. You know, with things the way they are, not just right now, but since the whole history of what Black folks have had to deal with, rage is something that always comes up. Anger is something that always comes up, and people who are against that always want to do something to shut that down, and which, you know, of course only makes us even more angry. But it is such a important emotion that doesn't really get discussed, especially coming from a Black woman's perspective. That's a stereotype to be considered angry and a Black woman. Mm. But it's just another way of censoring us and keeping us silent. So I like the fact that they even went with the name Rage to begin with. And also, for those who don't know, he has similar powers to liken to Luke Cage, but maybe not to his strength. Where he got the whole toxic sludge treatment, and now he's got physical strength. He has high durability and speed and things like that. And the thing that really sets out the most that I've noticed that a lot of Black Marvel characters tend to have is that physical durability. And it was super important with Luke Cage, the idea of being bulletproof.
Yeah.
The idea of being bulletproof, and the idea of having a physical durability means that you cannot be hurt by the police. That's exactly what it goes to, is that when you have this ability to not be hurt or killed by the main people that will hurt and or kill you, it gives you these means to really do something more, because you do not have that fear. And I think that's why Rage is the one who takes charge, because he's the one that can take these blows that a lot of the other people in his neighborhood cannot. And I think when I was looking into him, I already told the guys about this before, I really like that once he got his powers, he's like 14 at the time, he's like 14, 15. And after he realizes that he has these powers, he goes straight up to the Avengers, up to Captain America, and it's like, y'all don't have any Black folks on your team. Put me on your team, because this is some messed up shit. And I'm like, yo, iconic though.
Yeah.
Up to Captain America.
And they do. And he does become an Avenger.
Yes.
At the age of 15, and he has a good tenure with them until they find out. They don't know, I guess, because he maybe just looks adult.
Right.
But they don't realize that he's 15, and then they find out and they say, okay, well, you can't be an Avenger until you're at least 18, I guess.
Right, right. I think he is able to join the training team, though.
He goes and joins the New Warriors teenage group, kind of Teen Titans-esque, and we've talked about the New Warriors on the show before, but yeah. So,
well, and I think that's something that's interesting too, is his age, and that he did get these powers at such a young age, and part of it was like a growth spurt, right, where you couldn't tell that he was so young. And I don't know, sorry, my dog's barking right now. And I don't know if this was intentional by the writers or anything, but to me it kind of it kind of touched on this idea of, like, from a societal point of view, you know, this kind of embedded racism in, you know, the societal point of view, like viewing young black boys as men, right?
Good for yes. you, because if you weren't going to hit on it, I was. Good for you. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So let me talk a little more about what specifically Rage has to do in this storyline, and let's see where we go from there. Rage comes home one day off the subway, and he sees, and remember, these protests are happening against the AmeriCops, because the AmeriCops are unjustly arresting people, specifically black people, for no good reason. And so they're protesting this, and he, you know, he's off, I think he gets, you know, he's off doing something with Sam Wilson. He comes back home, he sees his neighborhood, he sees two white, like, C-level villains. They are breaking into a corner store, and he steps up and, you know, tells them to get out and put the stuff back. They end up fighting. They get the better of him and trap him there. When the cops arrive, they get away, and of course the cops are actually, they don't even get away. That's the thing. They don't get away. The cops arrive, assume that the white costumed people are Avengers, and assume that the black man, who's also costumed, is a villain. And, you know, one of the villains who gets away says, like, hey, we caught him for you, we're leaving now. And they go away, and then they literally arrest Rage right there. And he, it doesn't matter what he says, of course, they take him in. And then what happens is Sam Wilson comes down to the prison. And he says, hey, listen, you know, I want, or like, hey, he's a good guy, obviously. Can you please get him out? And Rage says, no. Rage says, I'm not going to use the whole hero thing to, like, as my get out of jail free card, literally. I want the world to see what happens to black people. And I want them to know that it happens to whatever status we're at. You know, it's going to happen to us. It could happen to any of us. It can happen to you, Sam Wilson. And sure enough, later on, it kind of does, in a way where the, you know, country turns against him. But Rage basically goes to prison because he truly wants to show how corrupt the system is. And big spoiler here, big spoiler, everybody. Rage actually ends up getting beaten in prison, basically within an inch of his life. And here's one little caveat that I have with the whole story is, Rage doesn't die there, although they do allude to the fact that he dies. But then they bring him back for one issue in another series later on about Venom, and they kill him off, like, instantaneously, and he dies later. And I'm like, that's a stupid-ass way to die. What the hell are you doing? You had a really impactful moment going on back there, and then you just, like, bring him back to kill him off later? That's really dumb.
So yeah, as I was looking through the research, I was looking at the research, or, like, the all the stuff online about him, and as it got to the end of the storyline, I was like, oh, that just, it was very abrupt right
yeah.
there.
Well, and remember, he's not the protagonist of that story. But he is a protagonist of our story, so we got to figure out how that works. Because Sam Wilson then goes on and defeats the AmeriCops and all that stuff, but it's not easy. And it's not, in the end, he wins the battle, but he ultimately kind of loses the war, I guess, because Sam Wilson does give up being Captain America because he feels that he can't represent the American flag while he's seeing so much injustice in the country. I mean, that's Rage's, that's the story that got me so hooked on Rage as a character, and I think we got to find a way to tell that story with the AmeriCops, with the Keen Industries, with this corrupt industry and whatnot going.
AmeriCops is just such a, like, name that you give something because you don't want it to sound evil, but is so obviously evil.
Like, yes. Yes.
I was going to say, I'm like, I feel like that's what they should be called right now.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it feels that way. And they look terrifying in the comics too, because they're just these like, you know, big, muscly, I'm going to say men because they all look like men, with badges, you know, but they have these like, it reminds me of Watchmen a bit. If anybody's seen the new HBO Watchmen,
and I haven't finished it yet.
I won't say anything, but you know, the cops wear masks, to hide their identity. So there's no consequences, for any of these cops because they, you know, they're just wearing these like reflective masks, and they don't have to answer to anybody really.
That's crazy because it really parallels right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of these cops are hiding their names on their badges. They're literally putting like tape on their badges so you can't see who they are or what area they work for or anything like that. They're like, yeah, we'll put on these body cams, but you're not going to be able to find out our name or what. That's crazy. That's insane.
So the last thing I want to mention before I think we really have to jump into the story is there's throughout the run of this story, you see this kid in his room, right? And he's watching videos online of all this police like brutality and all this injustice. And you don't really, you know, the first time you see him, you're like, okay, interesting. Like just kind of a look at, you know, but then we see him again later on and we're like, where are we going with this? And we see him paint his face to look like rage. And then he sneaks out and he goes to the protests and he's doing all of these things. And he's, again, he's a kid. He's, you know, 14, probably the same age as Rage was when he got his powers. But this kid, they don't show you this. I didn't show you guys this in the bit that I showed you, but, you know, this kid actually becomes, the new, Patriot. He's a new hero, new superhero. And he's trained, I believe, by Sam Wilson. And so there's kind of this, although the series does kind of end, or at least this run of it ends with kind of like on a down note with Sam Wilson giving up the shield and with Rage kind of, supposedly in a coma / dying. There's also this like little sprinkle of hope with, I want to say his name is something Lucas. I'm going to look up what Patriot, the kid Patriot's name is. But I would love to actually incorporate a little bit of that into this story as well. Like if Rage, you know, kind of, if this kid kind of maybe looks up to Rage, like in the neighborhood and whatnot. And then we, you know, cause Rage is our protagonist, right? So, okay. I'm talking in circles here. Let's talk about where this movie is in the MCU. I think, obviously, we have to pull Captain America, Sam Wilson, out of the story and make it more about Rage, I think. That doesn't mean Sam Wilson can't have something to do with it. And I think if we set this kind of in the place where it is the America that we see at the same time in the comics with, because in it, you know, in the MCU, Anthony Mackie's Sam Wilson has become Captain America, right? Now, we haven't seen that yet, so I'm really interested in seeing how they make that received in that world.
It's funny that you say that, because there's an article going around today about how they've essentially confirmed that there's going to be a movie, and I don't know why that was news, because I was like, duh. I was like, you better. You're not going to just give us the TV show. We are going to get a movie, or we'll fight you. So,
yeah. Oh, hang on. I just found the name of Patriot. So to be clear, there are two different Patriots. There was one that was a member of the Young Avengers, and then he
stopped. Okay.
Yeah. His name was, Eli Bradley. But the newest Patriot, so his name is Rayshon Lucas, and he's basically inspired by Rage and then becomes Patriot. Okay, so Sam Wilson is Captain America. Do we think the world is as it is in the comics? Do we think it's a country divided by this idea of having a black Captain America? Or do we go for the more optimistic version of things and hope that people are super cool with it?
I guess that depends on if we are going to use the universe that we've left off with how Endgame ends. Because if we go based on that, if you remember, a lot, while it seems like a good chunk of the world is kind of putting themselves back together, a lot of it still seems like it's partially in squalor. Like if you remember the scene where Ant-Man comes back and there's just trash lying in the streets, and that one kid who just doesn't even want to say a word to this guy. It seems like the state of the world is kind of in a very rough, delicate spot. So I dare say, even though it would be awesome to be optimistic, when you are in a very delicate position like that, I feel like people are like pets. When you move with a pet, they become very stressed. Regardless of whether or not it's a good situation or not, that animal is going to be very stressed because of the new situation. So if we suddenly, after everything that's gone down, after having lost however many people and then magically getting them back because we assume Avengers and we're ready to, yay, Avengers did it, we lost Iron Man, but yay, you go from that to, boom, new Captain America.
Right.
That's going to be a stressor.
Yeah. It's a tricky transition. Yeah.
Well, and I think too, there's a lot of, people need to adjust to, okay, a large thing just happened to the entire universe. We live with that for 5 years and now we go back. And so I would imagine, and I don't think it's something that the movies have ever really touched on, but the social systems that would have to be in place to facilitate that transition. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't surprise me if those social systems, you know, if say the United States was the one creating at least the ones within their borders, that they would disproportionately support certain groups of people and disproportionately negatively affect other groups of people. I think that tensions still have the potential to be very high with the world that Sam Wilson is about to take on this mantle.
Okay, so we have kind of our world set. We are in, I believe, let's see, I just read Rayshon Lucas is from Brooklyn, but Rage lives, where does Rage live? Okay, so I haven't even mentioned it. Oh, Rage does live.
Rage lives inside of us.
That's true. So Rage's real name is Elvin Daryl Halliday. So Elvin Halliday. I don't see this being necessarily an origin story for him. I don't think we need that. I think that we maybe get some like bit of like maybe like some self narration in the beginning about just kind of him like walking through the streets and kind of like saying hi to his community and whatnot as he kind of maybe explains like what went down for him, like what, five years ago, we'll say?
Yeah, after
we'll put him at like
happening.
Sure. How young do we want to make him in this film is a good question.
Going off of your idea of him, our backstory coming from him through like narration or just what he's been through and the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. I think he should be probably in his early 20s. So that kind of puts him at the age of where he would have got his powers. So the snap happens, he gets his powers, and he tells his story about how he has helped and been there and fought for his community through these awful 5-year period. Maybe he's lost somebody, and then for all that to change. And now that things are, people and things are back, he, I imagine, based on what we know of him, he would want to go to those responsible and be like, yo, so this happened and I want in, I want to help. Like, yeah. I've been doing all this stuff for my community and now this whole thing has happened and now I want to help so this doesn't happen again.
So I love that. So we get kind of our introduction to Elvin. And I think then we jump over to corporate boardroom. There's a character in the comic that, I forget his name. It's like Harry Hauser or something like that. But he's basically just like a talking head on like a super concern, you know, just like a real, just like.
Oh yeah. I read about that too. Yeah, I think that's right. Harry
Hauser.
He's just
a huge.
He's like the Rush Limbaugh. Guy.
Yeah, exactly. And then like later on, you find out he is, you know, working with Hydra. That's how the comics. That's how the comics are able to kind of like anybody bad, you know, is just kind of, well, if they're evil, then they're working with this corporate. You know, they're obviously working with Hydra. And I wish it was that easy in the real world. but anyway, point is, so maybe we get a little bit of him talking about, I think maybe we just cut back to him throughout the movie. So like
his shows.
Yeah. His shows where he's like giving news and feeding the hatred and just feeding like the, you know, the bigotry and the disgustingness of America. And we kind of like are reflecting that through that lens. But also we get, he's talking about how Keen Industries finally got approved to roll out the AmeriCops, because to keep the streets safer, because with the Avengers now dealing with, you know, galactic level threats, the AmeriCops are here to keep our streets, safer from like local threats and things like that. So the AmeriCops are going to test out, in New York, and then we need some sort of inciting event to happen where the AmeriCops basically get in Rage's way. So some villain comes to Brooklyn, you know, street level crime, Rage is able to take care of it, but the AmeriCops come in, get in the way, end up arresting Rage as well, and the villain gets away or something.
Justin, I have a question.
Yeah.
What's the deal with Keen Industries? Who is in charge of all that and what is their deal?
Andy, I'm so glad you asked.
Thanks.
Keen Industries is basically the only thing that they really do in the comics is they have the AmeriCops. It's run by Paul Keen, who also, I think, is outed with Hydra. He's an ally to Harry Hauser, and he's a right-wing oil tycoon.
Your classic villain.
Your classic villain. So, yeah, I mean, we have... Oh, okay, so there's three of them, really, that are the big people behind the AmeriCops. You have Paul Keen, who runs the company, oil tycoon. You have Harry Hauser, who does, like, the radio talk show, and he's, you know... So you have Paul's the money, Harry is the media, and then you have a senator, Tom Harold, who is, I guess, the law side of things. He's a Texas senator. And
of course he's from Texas.
Yeah, and he's super, super against Sam Wilson, Captain America. So you have these three old white men basically just like villainizing Captain America. But the thing that they do is that they say, like, you know, he's fine being Falcon, but not Captain America, you know, right, like he's not, like, give us back our Cap, like, give us back Steve Rogers and things like that. So that's basically who's pulling the strings in the villainy in this movie, I think. And then we have the AmeriCops. Do we want to include some sort of villain, or does that seem... Is it literally just rage against the machine? Is it?
God damn it. I mean, it kind of feels that way. And yeah. I think you're spot on too, Justin, when you say things like, I wish it was that easy, right? Like, oh, we can just call people Hydra and know that they're evil.
Right.
That's not the way that it is in real life. So I think if it is a more even societal, insidiousness that is our main antagonist, I think that would be worth exploring.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's the thing. We don't really need to diverge too much from the comics. Like Captain America Winter Soldier is one of the highest, you know, critically received and fan received MCU films. Yes, Sierra agrees with me on this. and it is so well done because it honestly sticks to the core material that Ed Brubaker wrote. And I don't think we need to, diverge too much from that. It's a political thriller. This can be a real thriller in that sense. It doesn't need a bunch of big, flashy, superheroism to make it a good movie in that way. So I think we kind of stick with what we have. So Rage, establishes who he is. We get that sense. We see him like stopping a mugger or something like that. We kind of get a sense of his home life. He lives with his, we can make him really however we want. I don't know if he's maybe he takes care of his mom or something like that. I think it was his grandma in the comics.
Listen, let's see. As long as we're not fridging anybody, that's fine.
Right.
No fridging.
So his grandmother. His grandmother encouraged him to become a hero, basically. So, we could do that. And I think we meet Rayshon Lucas, maybe, who's just like a neighborhood kid, yeah. 15 years old or something like that. And he looks up to Elvin. So that's kind of our act one. Act two, we are introduced to kind of the flip side of it, the hatred, the big corporations, and we kind of meet all of our players, Senator Harold, Paul Keen, the oil tycoon, and Harry Houser, the ass fart. and then, they're pulling strings and whatever, and we basically get the idea that the AmeriCops are being sent out. That's still act one, I think. Act two, we get some sort of action happening. So something comes to Brooklyn. We'll say it's just like some low-level, like kind of, again, C-level heroes, villains. Rage, is starting to take care of them like always, but then the AmeriCops show up and actually end up causing more damage and more fear than Rage, ever would. And so I think then we have the villains get away, the AmeriCops arrest Rage, and you have the community, yelling, hey, he's the good guy and all this stuff, and the cops just ignore them, right? The cops actually maybe even like aggravate things, pushing people down, shooting tear gas. I don't know. I mean, this could get bad.
Are the cops robots?
They are. I don't think they're robots. I think they're just men in masks. Hang on, let me double check that.
For some reason, when I saw the picture of them, they looked almost robotic.
Sentinel looking.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, sentinel looking. For sure.
And they do. They do for sure. I think it's the. I think it's the idea of. Let me see. AmeriCop. They're actually based on one vigilante called the AmeriCop back in, when was this written? 94. It wasn't a new idea, I suppose. It was, but his costume and code were appropriated by Keen Industries for their private policing initiative. I'm pretty sure they're men. And I think in this situation, whenever they are in the comics, I think they need to be humans in our story. If they're robots, it's not the same. Being I was going to say being programmed that way, but then I was like, well, technically they are programmed that way, even if you're human.
I was like, I don't know. I could see it going either way, just because it seems like, especially going parallel to how police are acting now, and how, you know, you don't even have to have a, I read about how one state is just now requiring cops to have high school diplomas. Some of these police officers out here don't even have college degree level stuff. And it's because they don't want them to have a high intelligence level. When you have a high intelligence level, that usually involves more empathy. If you have more empathy, then you're probably going to do something like, I don't know, stand up for what's right versus just letting people just do things to people. So I could see there being an argument for them being non-human, or maybe controlled by Hydra through the same means that Bucky was, you know, something like that, that they're still on the level of they could have been people at one point, and now they're just these beings that are just there to, but at the same time, for them to be able to actually, but for them to
welcome to my world
for them to make the choice to arrest Rage over the villains, they need to at least have some sort of thought process versus just the ready to comply focus situation that the Winter Soldier was under. So I can see either way. I mean, racist programming, maybe that immediately means that they're going to go with what the, you know, what whatever programming they have set, they're going to target the people that they are.
I think it's going to depend on how we want this to end. Do we want it to be, you know, Rage goes and flips a switch and everybody's like, oh man, I wasn't in control of my own thoughts. You know, I'm so sorry.
I was so racist. Whoa.
I can't believe it.
If only it was that easy.
Because I think the robot idea it makes it seem like there's just one evil person pulling all these people's strings. It's almost like saying, hey, Donald Trump is the bad guy, not all these racists in my neighborhood.
Right.
As you know what I mean? And so we gotta, I think there's a, you know, there's the one villain who's giving all these people the backing to do these things that they have no problem with already. So I don't know. In my book, I think they have to be of their own right mind.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yep.
There was something I wanted to, I think, in between the big event that you're wanting to happen, I think there needs to be a catalyst, because I really think the fact that Rage goes to the Avengers at his young age, I think that's such a really important thing for him. And since if we're going by what has already been established, if he were to go now, say after like a small event in his neighborhood happens, and he's like, you know, this could be bad, I might need some backup. And he goes to the Avengers, and maybe this is where he has his moments meeting and seeing, you know, he goes in there looking for Steve and instead meets Sam.
Yeah. And, like, we see the shield, and then the shield pulls away, and he's revealed.
Yes.
Exactly. And it's Sam, you know, he can have this moment of, oh, there's somebody who I know is going to be on our side, just from face to face. Oh, you one of us. Bet. Situation. And I think it would be important because not necessarily for Sam Wilson's point of view, but for Rage's point of view, if he sees that Sam, the new Captain America, that he, you know, was like, oh, you're going to be there for us, and he's hesitant, I think it's going to be this big moment of, oh, well, F you.
Yeah.
F the Avengers. I'm going to go do this.
Yeah.
And do my, and then this big.
Yeah, I love that. I totally agree. I think you're right, Sierra. And I like that too, because that's exactly what we need to get him to the point of. That's where he's in the comics, you know. That's where he feels like the, you know, superheroism doesn't care about his neighborhood. They have bigger problems, and they are going to answer ultimately to the law and to the government and to things like that, which are already corrupt in their nature. So I like that a lot. So what if instead, so at the beginning of Act Two, we have some small level villains coming. They overpower him and whatnot. They get away, you know, the cops show up, not the AmeriCops, just the regular police show up, and they go to arrest Rage, and the community has to say, like, no, he's the good guy, and it's a close call and whatnot. And so he's there, and he needs some sort of confidant. He needs some sort of friend. I guess it could be Grandma. I don't know who else it could be. His friend basically tells him, like, hey.
Rayshon?
Yeah, I mean, it could be Rayshon. I figured Rayshon was more of, like, an outside observer. Like, I figured, maybe not. I was going to say, I figured Elvin would want to keep Rayshon at kind of, like don't get too involved in, like, a lot of this stuff because it's dangerous. Maybe not, though, because, I mean, when he started out, he was that age, and maybe he...
I was like, what kind of 14-year-old actually listens to something like that?
That's true. But I just... Would Elvin actively try to engage Rayshon in helping him with this? But you know what? Screw it. Let's say it's Rayshon. So there's a... You know, they're at the... Wherever his hangout is, and Rayshon says, like, hey, you should get the Avengers to help you. And Elvin's like, they're not gonna help us with this. They have bigger, you know, but Rayshon convinces him, and he makes him go. So then we have our scene where Rage goes to the Avengers. He talks with Sam Wilson. Things aren't as easy. You know, I'm Captain America now. People are watching me. I have to kind of be careful where I step. It's all of that kind of thing. It's basically anytime you, like, elect an official that you're like, hey, this person's gonna be great, and then they're like, it's harder than it looks, and I'm sure, right. But yeah, so pretty disappointing when he walks away from the Avengers. And then we have what? So we haven't yet seen the AmeriCops. So is this?
Do we hear about them?
I think we hear about
them.
I
think there needs to be some sort of, like, big reveal to them. Like, maybe if this is taking place in New York, where, of course, most of the Avengers just live. Oh, you got an idea?
I had an idea, sorry.
No, do it.
So what if, okay, so Harryhauser and all these assholes up in corporate world, they know that Steve Rogers has handed off the shield, right? But it hasn't been formally announced yet to the world. And so they're going to make this big announcement. And when they reveal that Sam Wilson's the new Captain America, they're also going to reveal the AmeriCops along with it. And so the AmeriCops are basically there as kind of like a they're just kind of piggybacking on the announcement, I guess. And the reason that's cool is because then it kind of shows, hey, like... It shows the world that the AmeriCops are, like, basically they're trying to get, like, the black vote, if you will. Like, hey, Sam Wilson endorses the AmeriCops, so you should too. And then when the AmeriCops start, like, causing problems for, you know, of racial injustice and whatnot, then that's going to make it even harder for, you know, Sam Wilson to, like, backpedal and whatnot and say, like, no, these aren't, like, you know, that kind of thing. So... then Rage really has to step up. I don't know. That's I spiraled out, but
no. I think that's a good idea. Some sort of big events. See, I was going to say, like, you know, if they, because just sort of piggybacking with what you're going with, if it was something like, because I like the idea of announcing Sam Wilson and the idea of subterfuge, because that's what Hydra is about. Because I was just thinking if they did an announcement separately, well, not even an announcement, if there's a protest, if some sort of crap breaks out because they don't like this, then the AmeriCorps can come out and, you know, they're like, oh, by the way, here's the AmeriCorps. Mm-hmm. And they're going to, you know, keep the streets orderly and stuff like that. So, you know, if you don't like it, then...
So what if... What if the AmeriCorps, what if they, like, they announce that the AmeriCorps are going to be doing a trial run in Brooklyn specifically? Because Brooklyn, according to them, is, like, a high crime rate. And so the people of Brooklyn are like, what the hell? Right. And so they start to protest. And so we literally have this big unveiling of the AmeriCorps in Brooklyn. And there's all kinds of cameras and media there, and it's a big event, but then there's a bunch of people protesting, and Rage is kind of, like, leading the charge with them, you know, and talking about how it's completely profiling and all, you know, all that stuff. What, there's got to be, this is tricky. Okay, so things go wrong at the protest. The AmeriCorps, you know, end up maybe getting way too aggressive, and there's a whole scene where people, you know, Rage is trying to protect people. Sam Wilson can't be there, so
maybe it's just
the AmeriCorps.
The AmeriCorps.
Yeah, I think
maybe
so.
Maybe if Sam Wilson's already been announced as the new Captain America prior to this event, mm-hmm. they could still have, like, images of him being like
Sam, on a screen or something.
Right. Sam Wilson approves. Captain America says yes.
There's just a deep fake video of
him. I love the AmeriCorps.
So terrifying. Okay, so the protest gets out of hand. You know, Rage is confused why nobody's like there's the cops aren't coming or anything like that. And then he realized, kind of putting it together in this, like, you know, monologuing or whatever that he's doing, you know, the AmeriCorps are the cops in this situation. So, you know, he tries to get everybody to, like, safety and whatnot. And then, okay, that scene's over after a bunch of crazy action battles and whatnot. And he ends up fighting the AmeriCorps for the first time and realizing just how strong they are. And he gets most of his community to safety. Everything dies down. He expects to see this on the news later. Nothing. The media does not cover it at all, right? The word
or they cover it, or they cover it in a way where they're like, AmeriCorps subdue violent protesters or something like that.
Even better. Yeah. Because Harryhauser is controlling the media. And so, you know, that only frustrates him more. And you know, then they put even more restrictions on the people in Brooklyn and all, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's starting to kind of bear down on him. There's a curfew, there's, you know, maybe checkpoints, maybe just like random frisking, you know, people are, I think we got to go full on, and you guys tell me if this is too far. I don't know, but I, you know, are people getting shot in the streets? People being killed? Are black people specifically being targeted and killed in this movie?
More than likely. I mean, it's bleak, but more than likely, especially if they are at the very least, they're definitely getting hurt.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think, okay, so our act three is a little fuzzy, and we can figure out some more stuff to put in there, but that's, you know, we only have an hour. So our act three is kind of the AmeriCorps versus Rage, kind of going back and forth. We're seeing a lot of struggles as the community is really hurting. It all comes to a point, I think, in act four, when we have Rayshawn, You know, I think maybe Elvin tells Rayshon, like this whole time he's been encouraging him to go out and like help the fight and everything like that and help his community. But maybe Elvin gets scared, you know, maybe he truly like he's got durability or whatever, but yeah. You know, Rayshon doesn't. And, right. And so he tells Rayshon not to go out, not to protest anymore, to stay home and stay safe. And Rayshon ignores that, of course. And so he goes out and he maybe gets hurt or something along those lines. So he gets hurt somehow and by an AmeriCop specifically, and Rage can't hold back anymore and he goes off, right? And so he starts to just like, I mean, he's Rage. He's got Rage, and right. So he just starts to like, you know, not hold back. And I don't think he kills anybody, but I think he does like completely wipe out like a little platoon of AmeriCops. And you know, he's just standing there looking around, and it's like there's, you know, the protesters aren't sure what to do and whatnot. And I think at this point, Sam Wilson comes?
Yeah, I think that if it's to the point that it's causing civil unrest, and maybe if Rage is leading this charge and a bunch of other folks also start fighting, because I feel like they wouldn't just watch this one guy. I feel like, especially if he's this paragon to the community, I feel like people would help. But yeah, civil unrest happens. Sam Wilson pops up and, you know, tries his best to shut it down while still remaining in a neutral setting. And, you know, maybe he's able to succeed. And Rage, it makes Rage even more angry. It's like, you are supposed to be with us. You're supposed to be helping us. Like, you are one of us. You're mm-hmm. seeing what's happening. Why aren't you helping us? Like, you see it for yourself that this is happening, and maybe it's a turning point for him.
I think that could be, like, a really powerful scene.
Yeah.
I think that scene here's what I think happens is Rage defeats the AmeriCops, more are sent in, and he doesn't, like, give up, basically. And so he's about to go fight even more and hurt even more, and Sam Wilson shows up. And he says, you know, Elvin, this isn't the way to do it and whatnot, right? So he's, again, and that's what's happening. And so Sam basically says, hey, I need you to trust me. Like, that's actually what happens in the comics too, is Sam asks Elvin to trust him and trust the system. And Elvin right. gives Sam his trust, and it doesn't end up working out in the end for him.
Right.
And so if Elvin, I think there's a powerful moment where Elvin does give up, not because he wants to, but because he's trusting Captain America,
right,
do the job that needs to get done. And so, you know, put the handcuffs on him and he finally gets arrested for the first time in the movie. And this scene between Sam and Elvin, I think takes place, I think it takes place in the jail cell. And I think because what you have, I think this is a very powerful imagery, is you have Rage behind bars, you have Sam wearing patriotic colors outside of the bars, or whatever you call, not behind bars. And you have these two men who could be in reverse situations.
Right.
Easily, if it was Elvin who was handed the shield and not Sam. And they're both targeted by, you know, everyone. And
right. I mean, Sam's already been there before.
Exactly.
Already been there, done that.
Exactly. And so so I think that's where this conversation takes place, is in the jail cell. And, you know, Sam promises that he's going to help, basically. But I think it's everything that you said, Sierra. I think, you know, I think Elvin basically says, like, you should have been with us. Like, you, you need to pick which side you're actually on here.
Yeah.
And then, okay, now here's the big question. How are we ending this? Because in the comic, Rage, his story ends up, you know, he basically sacrifices himself for the cause in a way that is tragic. But as a reader, you see that and you think, oh, it's, you know, it's kind of Brechtian in a way. Oh, well, that's, if that's how things are now, I want to go and change that.
Right.
Are we keeping that sense of you know, leaving the audience kind of unsatisfied in a way where, you know, Rage possibly does go to jail and he ends up in prison and that's the end of his story for now? Or does Sam come through for him and get him released? And then they go and take down the AmeriCops together? Or I don't know. I mean, what do we do?
So I guess it really depends on if this is going to be, because it could be a lot of different ways, because I keep thinking back to how, you know, this story is originally supposed to be part of Sam's story, but we are spinning it to be Rage's. So if we are doing this in a MCU full, this has been a 2 hour and 30 or so minute setting, then I think what could be done is so like they have the conversation or whatever, and you know, maybe they have that moment and you know you get like that's it, he has his whole thought process of, you know, you don't really know who's on your side, just because there is a phrase in the Black community that goes, skin folk doesn't mean kinfolk. There are people out there like Candace Owens and Sean King and people who claim to be part of the community, but they only damage it and make it worse, or they are benefiting from the, you know, racist and white side of the community. And when you are Captain America, you definitely would be in one of those places. So he maybe is left in this state of hopelessness, and you know, credits whatever, then after credits he's at his cell or whatever, and one of the things that Captain America from Steve Rogers on is that he was always able to get people out of jail cells. So we see two pairs of feet, and one it's just Sam, and the other is your boy Nick Fury. So they both show up, and it's like, hey, we're gonna go ahead and get you out of here. We think we could use you. And then, you know, they do one of the classic Marvel lines, and he's like, well, when do we get started? And it, like, cuts or something like that. So that could be one option.
I like... Actually,
that's kind of my favorite.
I like the idea. I like the idea of getting Nick Fury involved. Here's where my question, I guess, is... And we don't have to go based off the comics, of course, because I want... Yeah. I'm totally satisfied with having... Rage having Elvin like live in the end of his story and be able to fight another day and be able to inspire and motivate Rayshon and all the others. But I also wonder if by letting him get out of jail, does that kind of defeat who the character is, I guess, in a way?
I don't think so.
If that, I guess I'm only saying that because that's what he does in the comics, is that he refuses to take that get out of jail free card. Go ahead, Andy.
Well, I was just also gonna say, I mean, the reason that he went to jail in the movie that we've made is a little bit different than the comics, right?
Yeah,
it is,
because So I don't know if that changes anything at all.
If Sam Wilson is the reason that gets him in, like, to trust him and he puts his trust in him, then there could be this moment of this, whether it's going to be that he's disappointed at first and he thinks, you know, this, he didn't come through, and then finds out that he does.
Mm-hmm. He comes through. I guess the thing is, Sam coming through to get him out of jail, in a very like kind of hush hush way, feels like it's maybe, I don't know. To me, that doesn't feel like Sam is like outwardly changing. I feel like what we need to see is Elvin go to court and Sam stands up for him there. And Sam says like, and kind of gets him out of jail the right way through the system. And proving that the system will work if you take the corruption out of it, I guess. Does that make sense? I don't know.
I understand what you're going for, but then we would have to, like, in order for him to then be, you know, proven innocent or whatever the case may be, then they would have to root out the corruption that's already in the system. And I don't think that they can do that from by having him go through the system. I think I don't know. Maybe that's just me. And maybe we don't even have, maybe Sam Wilson isn't there to get him out. Maybe it's like Nick Fury shows up and he just says like Captain America sent me or something like that.
Yeah, like it could just be.
What if instead of Sam being right and like him, like, hey, trust me on this, the system will work. And then he basically just like gets him out of jail. What if instead it's, you know, this conversation that Sam and Elvin have actually does change Sam. And he realizes, hey, the system isn't going to allow this black man to get out. Basically, the system is built in a way that you are going to be in prison for forever or whatever, because you took down these AmeriCops and because the AmeriCops run the system and all this stuff. So instead, Sam basically is saying, Elvin, you're right. And he comes back and he just breaks him out of jail. Right. And Sam basically puts his own, image on the line because to do what he thinks is right. And together, they go to take down, the AmeriCops at their, I don't know, headquarters or whatever. Sam, you know, takes to the sky, and then we basically are just following Rage as he kind of goes and roots out not all the corruption, but he does, you know, he gets to the drive, to the hard drive in Paul Keene's office that shows all of his Hydra connections and all of that shit. So we still have We basically have the ending where Elvin takes down these corrupt leaders that we've seen this whole movie that we hate, basically. Maybe not all of them. Excuse me. Maybe not all of them. But
I would say that's worth exploring too. Is like maybe this movie in particular doesn't have a clean ending, right? It doesn't have like, oh, we did it.
Sure. I like the idea that he goes and takes down the AmeriCops mm-hmm. and Paul Keene but then you still have the other two people at the table. You still have this corrupt senator and Harryhauser pulling strings.
And then it would be interesting then if Harryhauser at the very end, you know, you hear him like report on the situation or something and put his spin on it to be like, well, here's some more bullshit.
Right.
Right.
So now we have, at the end of this movie, we have Elvin, basically with the evidence that they had to go break out of prison to get for themselves because nobody else was going to do that. Elvin doesn't go to prison because it was all like a targeted thing on him. And Sam Wilson, even though his slate is fine, his slate is clean legally, there's a public image that's bad with him now because people think he, broke somebody out of prison or whatever it is. Sam basically painted a target on his back as well. He basically stepped out of line with, you know, white America basically in order to help people who truly needed him, Americans who truly needed him. So he's got a satisfying conclusion in this as well, even if it's not necessarily the way that he wants things to go. He is morally in a good place at the end of this. And then we have Elvin, who gets to come home, basically, and gets to help Rayshon, and kind of, you know, he's better now. And, you know, Rayshon, we see Rayshon, we get a little inkling of Rayshon kind of becoming Patriot in honor of both Sam and Rage. Okay. I feel good about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like that, especially because I just think of how he's portrayed in the MCU and how Mackie has this, like, I don't really give a fuck attitude. And I feel like at the end of the day, he would make the right choice and do what would be best for the community.
Right.
And, you know, he might have had this moment of confusion. It's like, oh, I've got to be Captain America now and blah, 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 blah. And like the big fangirl of me, because, you know, homeboy, you know, Steve is still alive.
He's
still alive. You know, there could be some sort of off scene where he goes to like try to get some form of wisdom from Steve, and Steve is like, well, first of all, you're not me. Second of all, when the hell have you cared about these people? Like, after what we've been through? And he's like, you right, though.
I think that's great. Go ahead.
That's just me that's just me from like a fangirl perspective, but I also have this whole sidebar of, because, you know, Bucky's there, we know they're gonna do the Falcon Winter Soldier TV show, and I just for some reason have it's silly, it has nothing to do with this plot, but there's this real, it's a meme now, there's a comic strip of Wolverine pushing Professor X off the stairs in the wheelchair, and I just have this image of him just with Steve in said wheelchair, just wheeling him around Avengers house. So we know he's still around.
Yeah.
I love that. I love the idea that this movie takes place just before Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And so one of the after credit scenes is Sam going and having a conversation, having a seat, and we see him there with Steve, old man Steve. And he has that conversation that you just said. And at the end of it, you know, Steve basically says, like, you're representing an America that I could never represent. And, you know, something like that. And then, you know, Bucky walks in and we get a little inkling that they're going to team up or whatever. And then I think the other after credits scene can be Rayshon, with like designing a costume or something. and maybe Elvin, like, you know, sees
give
it
him
or
notes.
Maybe Elvin sees it and he's like, and Rayshon gets out a yellow, or Rayshon gets out a blue, like, I don't know, marker or something to color it in. And Elvin's like, wait, oh, my mask is yellow. And he's like, oh yeah, this is, I'm going more for like a Captain America look or something along the lines of like going like it's a little funny thing with Captain America,
like something completely off key and cheesy, like, oh, I'm going more for a patriotic look or something.
Exactly.
Something like that.
Okay, guys, we've got a pretty solid movie that I'm really happy we finally got to.
I will call the Russos immediately.
Please do. Well, I'm glad because you have their number. I couldn't get it, but
Yeah.
You know everyone.
Sierra, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything that you want to give a shout out to here before we sign off?
Yes. So if you guys will ever want to, you're like, hey, I wonder where that chick is from. Does she do anything on her own? She has a really annoying voice. I would like to listen to it more.
Yeah.
You can actually check me out at the Metropolis, I actually have to pull everything up because I took screenshots, because as we know, my memory is completely just gone. So if you go to themetropolisnetwork.com, that's where you can find our Spotify, our YouTube. We do videos and podcasts. I go there. I guest star on a lot of people's stuff, but my area is the show called The Arcade, where we talk about video games and just things involving about or around that nature. I also have, I cosplay. You can find me on Instagram under Crimson Ash 330 or Facebook Crimson Ash Cosplay. I kind of just do too much all the time, every day. And then, of course, you can find me doing any sort of movie reviews or just anything I want to talk about on, there goes the cracking and the breaking of my brain. Story Time with Sierra. And it's something that I do with another friend of mine whose name is Story. So it's
very cool.
That's where I do a lot of my award show, just kind of commentaries and things like that. So I have a lot of fingers and a lot of different pies because I'm very hungry.
But yeah, that's great. Find
all of those memes.
Very cool. I'm excited to check out the arcade. I'll have to do that.
Yes, please.
So, as always, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MC Who Podcast. You can find us on Facebook, on the Facebook group we have, the MC Who Podcast. Please feel free to reach out to us. Let us know what you thought of this episode, if you want us to do more like this. And the final thing I'll say is we would love to get some more reviews. more ratings, more reviews. I know for a fact that there's about at least like 60 people who are listening consistently to these episodes, and we love you for it. You are phenomenal. Thank you so much. You're wonderful. We just would love if you could go on there and give us some stars, and or just write a little something if you liked it. If you wanted, we'll read those on here if we get some more. So. Okay, that's my really, really shameless plug to just promote ourselves here. But we love doing this, and we hope that you guys are having a good time listening to it. So, okay, until next time.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Justin.
And make sure to always act your rage.
Oh, God! Well,
I just didn't want to out myself on the podcast, but yes, I have worn same clothes for maybe weeks at a time.
No one's going to shame you here. We've all been there.
Thank you.
That's all of us.